That's a big statement in American history. And I think we can add the words by far. Under the process just completed by the EPA, we are officially terminating the so-called endangerment finding, a disastrous Obama-era policy that severely damaged the American auto industry and massively drove up prices for American consumers. Prices went up incredibly for a worse product. This action will eliminate over $1.3 trillion of regulatory costs and help bring car prices tumbling down dramatically. You're going to get a better car. You're going to get a car that starts easier, a car that works better for a lot less money. In 2009, Barack Hussein Obama, his EPA designated fossil fuels such as oil, gas, and other things that actually make factories rock and roll and other things drive very nicely as a threat to health and human welfare, known as the endangerment finding. This determination had no basis, in fact, had none whatsoever, and it had no basis in law. On the contrary, over the generations, fossil fuels have saved millions of lives and lifted billions of people out of poverty and all over the world. And you see it with the blackouts all over where they don't use it, where they went to wind, intermittent wind, which is weak and ineffective and very, very costly, most costly energy there is. And people are dying because there was no air conditioning or there was no heating. Lots of other things, bad things happened. And yet this radical rule became the legal foundation for the Green New Scam, one of the greatest scams in history, probably as great, maybe even greater than Russia hoax, et cetera, which the Obama and Biden administration used to destroy countless jobs. And the jobs have been just decimated. Although they're all coming back because of tariffs, they're all coming back into our country at levels we've never seen before. But it raised prices and caused immense harm to the U.S. auto industry. We thought irreparable, but we've got them back. We're coming back now. I was in Detroit, as you know, with Ford, and they had one of the earliest plants from the early 1900s, and it was going to be closed down. And then when I won, they said, let's keep it open for a little while. Let's see what happens. And they just announced, as you know, they're going 24 hours around the clock with that same plant that was going to be closed.
That is true.
Because of what we've done.
That is absolutely true. He is not lying. I actually know a lot of people that work there. I've even called somebody on the live stream that works there. And they say that they basically have been hiring a lot of people inside of that plant. They hired new shifts and all of that stuff. But basically what Trump is saying and what he's doing is that apparently he's getting rid of this endangerment finding that happened under Obama in 2009. And so the administration can more easily turn over or overturn the other rules that basically reduce climate pollution emitted from power plants and oil and gas operations. It allows for the auto industries and other industries to be able to do more, supposedly cut costs. And one of the things that I'm skeptical about with regard to this is the sell to the American people is that this will actually reduce the cost so that you guys can go and buy what you want. Car prices is out of control, all of this stuff, right? Now, there's a tale of two worlds here. On one hand, a lot of people say that climate change is fake, right? On the other hand, a lot of people are saying that we got to take care of the earth because we got to live here. And although you may not necessarily care about it, your kids' kids are going to care about the fact that we actually did the right thing and we made sure that these companies didn't put profit over people, right? Profit over people. So here's the question. Are you willing to pay more to have a better earth? This is the sell. Are you willing to pay more to have a better earth for the future of your kids? Or do you think that costs are reined in because all of these findings and this EPA regulation is preventing innovation, is preventing us from being able to get costs down, and create more jobs and have more industry. All right. That's the tale between the two worlds right now. Okay. So here's the problem. And I'm going to tell you the problem on both sides. And then I'm going to let Trump talk some more. And then I'm going to tell you the benefits on both sides from my lens. All right. The problem on let's say, for example, on the side of deregulation, EPA findings, kill off what Obama put in place in 2009, so on and so forth. Do you honestly in your heart believe that auto companies, let's say they now don't have to go over so many hoops and spend the money that it takes to meet regulation standards that is defined by the EPA in order to ensure that pollution and climate change is not being affected in a negative way, right? Let's say that they now have that savings inside of their threshold, and this is what they're doing. Do you really believe in your heart that that savings is going to be passed on to you as a consumer? Historically, what companies have done when they get savings, and this goes all the way back over into the auto industry in the 80s and the 90s when they first started to say, well, we're going to start building cars and we're going to start shipping parts over in China and Indonesia and Mexico and all of these in Canada, right? And we got the North America Free Trade Agreement and we're going to manufacture some parts over there and we're going to ship it over here because it's cheaper. Then it's going to make cheaper cars for you, right? Guess what never happened? Car prices have never, ever, ever gone down, ever. You know what happened? It increased the profits with the companies. So if you're looking at it from the lens, we need to have more profitable companies because I'm a shareholder and I'm an investor in the auto industry, then that's one thing. But if you are a consumer and you believe that this is going to affect your ability to buy and finance a car at a cheaper price so that it's going to lower your costs, you're a fool. And I'm going to keep it 100 with you. You're crazy. If you think that the auto industry in any way is going to pass on that savings to you guys, now you can say that maybe there'll be more jobs because the economy, you know, you can make that case and say, hey, maybe we'll have more industry and more jobs that is created inside of the United States of America. I'm with you on that. That's a possibility. But if you think that that translates into you having a cheaper car on the lot, you're crazy. You're insane. You're insane. That's not how it works, baby boy. Baby girl. That's not how it works. Companies are incentivized to add value to shareholders. And the only way that that price comes down is if they think that they can sell more, which then adds capacity and it allows for them to take more market share within the auto industry. That's it. If it benefits the bottom line, if it benefits the shareholders, that's how it translates over to you. So that's the negative on the side of deregulation and thinking that that cost savings is going to be passed over to the consumer. It's not. It's not. All right. The other side, let's say you're on the liberal and you're on the Democrat side and you say, hey, we need EPA regulation or whatever. Well, again, the downsides or the pitch for the downside of that is if you let these companies run amok, they don't give a fuck about trying to meet expectations of doing the right thing on the planet. They only care about the bottom line. And so pollution will be up and they'll figure out how to manufacture and override anything that they can override in order to try to get that market share. All right, let's continue.
For example, under the endangerment finding, they forced the hated start-stop feature onto American consumers, which unnecessarily shuts off a car's engine when you stop at a red light. In other words, the engine goes off. That's great. The endangerment finding was also used to impose the massive and really very expensive electric vehicle mandate, expensive in the sense that nobody wanted it. Everybody was going to be forced to buy an electric car in a very short period of time, even though you can't power the car because we would have had to spend $5 trillion on power stations. That's all dead, gone, over. These crippling restrictions were a major factor in driving up car prices to unprecedented levels. And the car that you were getting was not nearly as good. In 4 years under the Biden administration, the price of a new and used car rose more than 22%, all to facilitate the Green New scam without achieving any meaningful impact on the environment, but making the car worse. That is why, effective immediately, we are repealing the ridiculous endangerment finding and terminating all additional green emission standards imposed unnecessarily on vehicle models and engines between 2012 and 2027 and beyond. This action will save American consumers trillions of dollars and will lower the average cost of a new vehicle by close to $3,000. Think of that. During my campaign, I promised to cut 10 old regulations for every new regulation. And we've exceeded that. We've instead done it 10 regulations. We were able to cut 129. So now we cut 129. So think of that. I promised to cut 10 old regulations for every new one, but we did more than 10. We did 129. It's something nobody can even believe it. So we did a lot of regulation cutting in the first administration, a record, nobody even close to it now. We're actually exceeding it in this administration.
If we had responsible companies and if we could trust large corporations to do the right thing, we wouldn't even need all of this regulation, to be honest with you. That's really the play, right? Like, are companies going to continue to innovate and put responsible corporate policy in place that pushes them to be successful while at the same time doing the right thing and using technology to innovate? But the problem is that a lot of these agencies exist not only to finesse the people and not only to bring more money into the federal government so that they can then use the money to do what they want to do with it, but also you can't trust these companies to do the right thing. That's the problem, is that if people were responsible and if companies just did the right thing, hey, listen, you don't need no EPA. You don't have to beat the bare minimum in order to, why don't you innovate and give people a product that they want at the same time? But no, they don't do that. It's a race to the bottom and the fat and the profits at the expense of the people, even if it pollutes the fucking world. And so if you let them do the least, then that's exactly what they're going to do in order to appeal. Like, we shouldn't even need all of this red tape and government agencies to ensure that people are going, that companies are going to do the right thing. So messed up. Like, you can do both. You can be ethical and you can be innovative. Imagine that. You can be ethical and innovative. And that's the problem. Thank you, Wigs and Wine. I see you signed up for the Patreon. Shout out to all of the new bag chasers and the Patreon members. That's the real problem, is that you just can't trust companies and people to do the right thing.
The biggest one yet that we've done is happening right now. So perhaps no industry has benefited more from our historic deregulation campaign than the U.S. auto industry. We canceled the EPA's absurd, just totally absurd, tailpipe emission standards, which was a disaster for automobile manufacturing, and revoked Biden's emissions waiver that would have allowed California to regulate automobiles for the entire nation. And they're crazy out in California. They have nothing but trouble out there, as you know. That's why people are leaving in record numbers. I also ended Joe Biden's extreme CAFE emission standards, saving the average American consumer much more than $1,000 when they buy a new car. But now we're talking about close to $3,000. These regulation cuts, combined with our tax cuts and tariffs, are the reason why the world's largest automakers have announced that they're going to be spending in excess of $100 billion in the United States very short period of time building new auto plants. We're bringing our auto plants, assembly plants, and factories roaring back to life.
Somebody said, I'm going to read these super chats shortly. Shout out to my dog, 2K. Somebody said, yeah, we need a cheap V8 again. Now, you know what we really need? We need automakers to remove all of these fucking screens out of the cars. Give us some buttons. Give us some basic Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Bring back actual physical knobs and physical buttons. and give us the basics and stop giving us all of these extras and cut the cost of the vehicle. Give us something pretty to look at and something that men want to work on inside of their garage, and you'll have a great fucking company and a great product. You'll sell tons of it. You'll sell tons of it. Increase quality, give us the basics, and let us figure out what we want to put in the vehicle ourselves. Give us a fucking V8 on my car, or at least an option to add a V8 in it. I don't need screens all. I don't need an iPad on every single thing. Yes, you can simplify it if you want to make it a mass-produced vehicle that allows for soccer moms to get back and forth. And we want options. We want options. We want physical buttons. We want it integrated beautifully. We don't want to spend a bunch of money on, listen, we don't need all of that. I don't need speakers in my seat rests. I don't give a fuck about ambient lighting. I don't care about lumbar and all of that stuff. Men don't care about that. You know what we like? We like the sound of a V8. We like the ability to be able to work on our own car. We like the basics and allowing for us to be able to get to and from, and we want that mug to look sweet. And that's it. And we good. And we want it to be affordable to where we can actually buy it and do some customization work to it. All of that other stuff, we don't care about none of that other stuff, bro. We could put our own turbos on there if we want to. We can put our own superchargers on there if we want to. We want to be able to change our own oil. We don't care about Harman, Kardon, audio. We don't care about none of that shit. If we want to, we'll do our own sounds, everything. Cut all of that stuff out of there. Cut all of the costs, everything, bro. And we can figure it. We can figure the rest out ourselves. Give us something that looked beautiful, that harkens back and acknowledges some of the beautiful cars of the past. Give us the option to get a V8. We don't need the passenger to have a fucking screen on their side too. What they gonna do? What they gonna do with a screen on their side? You don't need TVs in the back. You don't need none of that. You just give me the basics and we rolling. We good. But, you know me, if I was an auto executive, all of that would change. All of that. We like manual transmissions. You know what I'm saying? Like, we cool. We good on all of that rest of that stuff. Honestly, I think that we need to remove backup cameras. We need to remove all of that stuff. Why, Anton? Because niggas don't know how to drive no more. People don't even know how to get up the street to the grocery store without putting it into their maps and their GPS no more. People need to learn how to parallel park. They need to learn how to go back to the basics of understanding what driving is. You know what driving is? Driving is rolling down your window. Driving is being 16, 17 years old, getting your license and saying, where the hoes at? Where the hoes at? That's the first. Hey, man, I'm coming to pick you. Hey, man, are you at home? All right, come outside real quick. Yeah, come outside real quick. Let me show you something. Oh, dog. Oh, my God. Nigga, we rolling. We good to the summertime. Nigga, we about to get all the hoes. Nigga, life was cruising in the car for the next 5-6 hours, and the car was the main character. Nigga, we was the assistants. The car was the main character when you was coming up. You cruising for 5-6 hours trying to find out what hoes at. Go up and down 7 Mile, hit the lodge, go down to Belle Isle, hit Jefferson. Oh, man, everybody ain't out tonight. They ain't out yet. All right, cool. That's cool. Well, let's hit the Coney Island. Go to the Coney Island, get something to eat. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, what sun coming down? I know Belle Isle is on 10, nigga. Go hit the strip. You see that line backed up, you get on right on the island before the police come and shut it down. It's going down tonight. And that was the goal. We spent all day trying to figure out what a hoe's at. And if you landed, it was all worth it. Saturdays was trying to figure out, Sunday afternoon and Saturdays was trying to figure out where the hoe's at. I'm just telling you what life was. That's all what we hooping and we chasing. Hooping and chasing. Hooping and chasing. All you needed was gas money. We ain't need no money for roof, Chris. You ain't need no money to be out here trying to impress people. Wasn't no for the gram. Wasn't none of that. Nigga, I'm fresh right now. I don't care. I got my brother's hookup on. You know what I'm saying? My shoes is clean. My Air Force Ones was $70. My t-shirt is fresh. I got it straight out of the pack. Nigga, my whole hookup is $110. New shirt, $70 Air Force Ones. I got my brother's Jabot jeans on. And I got a fresh cut from the barber shop. I got a tank full of gas because we all put in on this. And we in the streets, nigga. We stroking the streets. We hungry. We ain't stopped and got nothing to eat. It's cool, though, because we got Armor All on the tires. You know what I'm saying? My sounds is booming. And where the hoes at, nigga? All of this other stuff, nigga, I don't. You know why we didn't need GPS? Because navigating through, you might find out where the hoes at. You might just stumble up on the hoes. You know what I'm saying? What you mean? What you mean? We good. We good, nigga. What you mean? Y'all talking about you got to take me to a high-end restaurant, high-end, a steakhouse? What you mean taking you to the steakhouse? Nigga, the reason that we were so skinny is because we didn't eat because we were spending all of our money on our gear. We didn't spend no money on food. We spent our money on gear, sounds, Flowmasters. You know what I'm saying? The pullout CD player. All of the money was spent on getting fresh. What you mean spending money on food? Food? We all hungry. What you talking about?